Me. Good morning, evening, afternoon to Tennis World, Twitter, Facebook, ATP, WTA players. I hope the actual professional players are listening to us. Welcome to a third episode of Real Tennis Fans. Now, or should it, as it should actually be pronounced, Real Tennis Fans. But, you know, we're not going to be that persnickety today, you know, that exact. So it's Real Tennis Fans. Don't mind that there's only one end. Don't ask about it. It is what it is. Just deal with it. I'm just trying to be special. But anyway, welcome to our third episode of Real Tennis Fan, the podcast. I was trying to get this done earlier, but it seemed like I kept getting distracted and I wanted to have a guest on today. But unfortunately, due to technical difficulty and time constraint and different time zones, that guest would be on next week. Don't worry. I am trying to be very regular with this podcast, so I've actually planned out for to the next six or seven podcasts, so I will be trying to come to you every week with something new, different, and hopefully the same irreverent, you know, complete and controversial tennis coverage. So today, what we're going to talk about is really and truly what's going on in Indian Wells. The name of today's podcast is How Is It Going, Indian Wells. I hope that came off correct, because I don't know. I was trying to come up with something kind of cute, you know, and witty, but I don't know. So it's just going to be me today, and hopefully I have my clock in front of me. I'm going to keep it to within an hour. Hopefully I can do that. Anyway, the reason why I wasn't on last week, so it's because really and truly, there's not really to talk about. There was Davis Cup the week before, and had a couple of WTA tournaments, which were internationals, which is basically the tournament just above Challenger Circuit. But I don't think WTA call it Challenger Circuit, but whatever they call it. Anyway, international. That's where, you know, the winches, you know, try to go grab a title. Or as I like to say, where Caroline Wozniacki is getting her, makes most of her prize money from. She's slaying that these international tournaments where nobody is showing up except she's the top ranked player. Anyway, she showed up in Malaysia, and I think if I'm not mistaken, she won that title. So I guess she was all happy because she can't win a regular title when, you know, anyone in the top 20 shows up. So ain't much to talk about that. And I think in Monterey, Timia Batsinski from Switzerland. I mean, we were just talking about that. We hardly knew there was any Swiss female player besides Paddy Schnieder and Martina Hingis. And all of a sudden, these Swiss girls are really making a name for themselves. Belinda Bencic is all of a sudden making a run, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. And Timia Batsinski is one Monterey, and I believe she got to the final in Shenzhen. And I'm almost sure she won a title elsewhere, but I'm not entirely sure where that was. But she has been doing pretty well for the year. So good for her. Let's give her a round of applause. And as for Caroline Wozniacki, girl, we're not recognizing when you win those, like, winch titles. No. You got the money and you could keep moving, but whatever. Anyway, in for Davis Cup, I think last time around I mentioned Davis Cup, who will be leading. There wasn't really much excitement. I mean, most of the ties went to, actually, all of the ties for all eight ties. They all went to 3-2, decided in 3-2, Robert in favor of the winner, except Croatia versus Serbia, where Serbia blitzed them 5-love. I mean, one of those rubbers, Bona Koric, who plays for Croatia, he was actually up, I think, 2-0 over Viktor Troitsky. Then he got his life, and I don't know the fuck he did on court. He just fucked it all up and then lost the match. Inexperience is always, you know. Experience most likely always trumps inexperience. Plus, he has a fucking horrible forehand, so he needs to get that shit fixed. But he's only 18, so there's time to develop and get his life together. I guess the most interesting tie of all of that was, I guess, the Great Britain versus USA. That was the most, I guess, I don't know, because Murray is trying to, I don't know, it doesn't really, in my mind, that's not really that significant. But I guess because the fact Murray is the guy in the top four who doesn't have a Davis Cup title. I think Federer has one, Nadal has one, Djokovic has one, Ferrer has one, Berdych has one, Wawrinka has one. So I think he's trying to feel the urge, you know, he needs to win this cup and, you know, to try to get up there, you know. But anyway, he played the USA. And the USA had a chance of actually winning this thing. And I know there were a lot of controversy about, you know, Jim Courier picking Donald Young, you know, to be the second singles player. Because the USA has the best doubles team. So obviously the Bryant brothers, you're allowed four persons on your team. And the Bryant brothers would always take the first two slots. And a lot of people were going on, you know, oh, I don't think, you know, Jim should have picked Donald Young. And to be quite honest with you, it didn't matter. It didn't matter who Jim Courier picked. Because if Jim Courier had picked, God knows, Sam Querrey, whatever, they were not going to beat Andy Murray. It was almost a given that Andy Murray was going to win those two singles matches. And the real key was that the doubles and that John Isner, who had to be picked because he's the number one ranked player, he had to win his singles match against the number two British guy, who was James Ward. But I don't know what the fuck Sam, forgive me, Sam, John Isner was doing. You know, I'm not a big fan of John Isner, big mountain troll, I like to call him. Tried to get himself into politics and saying some bullshit about the Redskins, you know, how, you know, big government going in and Redskins, and he would just shut the fuck up, bull. Shut the fuck up, because you don't know the fuck you're talking about in that instance. But anyway, since that moment, I'm not, never really been a big fan. I'm actually not even a big fan of his game, this serve bar bullshit, you know, like, big forehand, big serve, it's bullshit, because he can't return to save his fucking life, and that's what happened against him with James Ward. He couldn't break serve. And James Ward, coming from two sets down, two love sets down, he came back and won the bloody match, and I don't know how the fuck John Isner let that match go away. It was crazy. And John Isner needed to win that match. And it's so, for me, again, people were going on about Donald Young, and in fact, Donald Young ended up, technically, he got a set off of Murray, which was pretty good. He's been playing really well this year, and he played decent against James Law, who eventually retired, and he got the win. So an American really won the doubles. I don't know what the fuck was going on with the Bryant brothers. They were up two sets to love, and then all of a sudden decided to play some fuckery, and then end up, anyway, I ain't got time for this bullshit. But anyway, Great Britain ended up winning 3-2, and I believe they're going against Australia, who would surprisingly beat Czech Republic, which was kind of odd, because Buttigieg didn't play, and no, and Switzerland, surprising enough, they didn't have Federer, didn't have Wawrinka, and Federer, Belgium was only able to beat them 3-2. Wawrinka is now saying, you know, oh, I should have played single. I should have played Davis Cup. Yeah, motherfucker, you should have. But anyway, moving on. Ain't nobody got time for that shit. So let's give all the winners a round of applause for in Davis Cup. Anywho, I think, well, really, let me check my notes to see if there was any real thing I need to talk about. Yes. Ooh, so some juicy gossip. I guess we can go right into Reels talk, because I won't say some juicy gossip per se, but, you know, anyway. Quiet as it's been kept, Marcelo Rios, who you may or may not have remembered, played, he was a number one player in the world back in 1998, I believe. He got to the Australian Open Finals in 1998 playing Peter Kodra. Now, apparently, the Chilean government is now asking that the International Tennis Federation or some governing body, perhaps the World Arbitration Organization, because Peter Kodra failed a drug test at Wimbledon of that same year. However, they never mentioned that Kodra failed a drug test until 1999, after Kodra had retired. So, of course, there was no, they couldn't do him anything. And the Chilean government is asking that they check all results to find out whether or not Kodra was, in fact, on drugs during the time of the 1998 Australian Open, when he beat Marcelo Rios in the finals in Melbourne to take the title. And if that's the case, they would like the title to be handed over to Marcelo Rios. Well, I mean, that's kind of interesting, because, you know, tennis has a horrible record with dealing with drugs. And I don't think that the problem is that there's drugs in tennis. That's in and of itself the problem. I think the problem is that tennis people are not handling the drug situation quite properly and effectively. I mean, we have that Andre Agassi situation. We had that Richard Gasquet situation. Andre Agassi was clearly on drugs, and they covered it up and all the thing. And this cover up is all the way from the bottom to the top. And it's all about money. So I dislike hearing people talking about, you know, tennis have a drug problem and this player could be on drugs, et cetera, et cetera. My problem is that players would always, athletes would always seek to take, you know, the extra mile and do drugs and whatever. That's always apparent, and that would always happen in all sports, no matter which and where it is. The issue is always going to be how the organizing body handled this situation. And that has always been the problem, not the players using drugs, but the organization handling up the situation. So this is going to be really interesting to see how this plays out, if the season goes anyway. I mean, Chile is very much invested in the situation because they feel that Marcelo Ruiz is the most successful player, and they would very much like for him to say that they have a Grand Slam in their bag. I'm not entirely sure. They may have another, because South America has a lot of players who play pretty well in the ages. So if I'm not mistaken, he might be the only player who to have got. No, I don't think so, because I think Fernando Gonzalez did get to Australian Open finals in 2007 or six, something like that. Anyway, so that's one drama. And the other drama, I guess, is, of course, every bloody week, fucking Diva Dal has some bullshit to say. And Diva Dal, of course, never to disappoint me, he comes in with some bullshit talking about how, you know, first of all, he's complaining about Davis Cup. How nobody shows up at Davis Cup. First of all, Davis Cup isn't mandatory, okay? If players want to represent their country, they can go. But then he's now talking about, you know, there's no the legitimacy of Davis Cup because top players don't show up. Whose fault is that? You decided you didn't want to play for Spain this year. Now, last year, when Spain was in relegation, Joker didn't decide to play last year either. So I don't understand what your problem is about Davis Cup. Do you want Davis Cup to be like, oh, it's mandatory for all top players to show up in Davis Cup? And to me, to be quite honest, even if the top players don't show up, I think it gives the younger players and the other players in the back, because Spain has a lot of players, it gives a lot of other players opportunity to play for their country. I mean, something that they can do. I mean, the Czech Republic, Burdic didn't show up, and there were a couple of them, I think Adam Paslovic was able to represent his country, and that I think is an awesome opportunity. America ain't got nobody, so we ain't gonna talk about that. But Switzerland, Roger and Wawrinka didn't show up, and a whole bunch of guys, I think the top guy on the singles team for Switzerland team, he was ranked 200 and something, and they almost nearly pulled this off, beating Belgium, and only that David Goffin showed up, and he didn't. So, I mean, to me, this is some bullshit, Diva Dal. Like, if you don't want to play, I mean, I don't know what the fuck you want Davis Cup to do to force other people to play. And that does not take away the legitimacy of Davis Cup, because when I watch Davis Cup, no matter where I am, I see the whole fucking country show up for them people, and they're booing and cheering and carrying on. In fact, Davis Cup is so serious. In the last time with Argentina versus Brazil, the Argentinian, of course, always never to disappoint, decided to get racist and stupid in the conversation. A lot of the other, a couple of the players for Brazil team complain about the Argentinian fans getting all stupid and nasty with racism. And I'm not saying that racism is equal to, you know, loving a country, etc. But I'm just simply saying that there are people who take it that crazy seriously. That's not the kind of crazy serious you want it to go. But, you know, it's very, the countries that are participating in Davis Cup, it really matters to them. And it doesn't matter really and truly who shows up, because, again, the crowd can lift. Look, James Ward got lifted. Actually, let me not say that, because James Ward has been beating these fucking Americans, though he can't win any other match any other way. So it ain't the crowd. It's just fucking Americans. It's full of shit. But anyway, but Diva Dal, shut the fuck up. Then Diva Dal is also complaining about, oh, and I'm going to quote, he's complaining about the fact that, you know, that umpires are penalizing for wasting fucking time on the coach, you know, taking half an hour to go scratch his balls, take his panties out of his butt, untuck, and then fucking bounce the ball and whatever. We ain't got time for this fucking shit. It's bad enough that your matches take like fucking 2 hours to complete one fucking set in just actual play, and to add another fucking half an hour to be in the shit where you're picking your ass. No, motherfucker, you need to stop this bullshit. And umpires, listen, coming from real tennis, I am telling you, fucking penalize this motherfucker till he dies. Because it's ridiculous, it's disgusting. He needs to stop this shit. He's a top player, so people are supposed to look up to his fucking ass. and he's supposed to get his shit together. And I am saying, go for it, and I applaud you. Yeah. Anyway, Diva Dab was just like, it's worse to be 5 seconds late than saying bad words are breaking records. We're not going to penalize that. But my six to eight seconds, yes? I'm sorry. No, shut the fuck up, okay? Everybody be cursing on court, and umpires do pull them up every once in a while. I would agree with you that when it comes to men and women, they don't penalize the men for cursing, but they're always getting the women's faces for using profanity, and the Murray cusses every single fucking match he's on. I would agree to that point. But however, your bullshit isn't getting enough. It doesn't mean that you get to continue your bullshit because they're breaking record. And every time they break record, they always give the player a warning. Every single time. I've rarely ever seen a case where they don't give a player a warning. So that shit is invalid. And Diva Dab, they warn you all the fucking time. They warn you. From the beginning of the match, they tell you it's 20 seconds between each point. And how many fucking times they have to say, and you, I don't know what the fuck you're carrying on. They never even take a point from you. And I don't know why you're complaining. Gosh, girl. You know what, girl? Ain't nobody got time for you, okay? You get one of these. As a matter of fact, because you're a diva dog, you get two. Always bringing the drama for no fucking reason. Anyway, let's moving on to another tidbit. Maddy Fish, aka Maddy, used to be a whale. Now Maddy Fish is slender. The eel is coming back to playing professional tennis. Apparently, he didn't feel like, you know, he had given it his all. Like, you know, he had one more big push to show. Watch out at the US Open this year. But anyway, he decided to come back and he got a wild card into the Indian Wells tournament. I will tell you more about his results later on. What else to tell you? Oh, a couple of news regarding Loch Ness Monster. So Loch Ness Monster Murray has decided to pick Jonas Björkman. He was, if I'm not mistaken, I think he got to the Wimbledon semifinal a year when Federer won it. And I'm gonna say 2005, but I could be wrong. I don't even quote me on that. But I know he got to the Wimbledon semifinal at one point. And I think he lost to Federer that year. Andy Murray has chosen him as a temporary position to be the secondary coach while Amelie is away and basically the other stuff busy with her life. Yes, girl. You know, you ain't got by time to follow around Andy Murray fucking me. You know, you got a wife, and I don't think you have children, but I'm sure since you're French, you got dogs somewhere. Or cats, since you're a lesbian. No tea, no shade. People don't get in my face. So he picked Jonas Björkman. I don't know about the dynamics and how this is going to work out. I mean, I always think it doesn't matter who is working with Andy. I think it's how Andy works with himself. So this would be interesting. I think Andy is always willing to make excuses. As I said before, I swear, if ATP had on-court coaching, Andy Murray would be definitely in the running for tons of majors because he just doesn't seem to get out of his own way. He's always creating problems. But anyway, so that bit is going on. And speaking about Maresma, Amelie Maresma, she has been elected to the Hall of Fame this year. This is pretty impressive. So Amelie, I'm going to give you a round of applause. Yes, girl. Thank you. I mean, like, I know I enjoyed you in 2006, Dragon Justine Anna Arden. Whatever the hell she's gonna call herself now. I think she got married recently. And I don't give a shit. You know, I ain't checking for that bitch. Forgive me. I shouldn't call her a bitch. That heifer. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. I should call her heifer. Yeah. Anyway, Amelie in 2006 she's a former number one player. She has an amazing game. Not necessarily an amazing mental head game, but she has an amazing game. She can do everything. She can serve, she can slice, she can come to net, she can rally with the best. And actually, I think she was one of the last few clay court players there was who actually knew how to play and that stuff. But she did too many slices and dices, and that was the fucking up her game. But anyway, in 2006, if you remember, Amelie gave Justine Anna Arden diarrhea in Melbourne, and she won the 2006 Australian Open and then went on to win Wimbledon. And for me, I was really happy that she won Wimbledon and she beat Justine because I felt Justine tried to rob Amelie off her title in Australia, no, because she knew Justine Amelie was gonna beat her fucking ass, and she decided to say, "I got diarrhea, bitch." Who the f- that was tough. I don't know how people don't keep on dragging that heifer for that stupid shit. I mean, she pulled out of a final match and said she got fucking diarrhea. Bitch, girl. Just take some Pepto-Bismol and shut the fuck up. But anyway, Amelie has two major titles. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, she has won Fed Cup. She's now a Fed Cup captain for France, if and by any means, anyway. She's been coaching for a little bit, too. So I'm really excited. She's won a number of titles. I know she won Femme on a title. She's given all the top girls trouble. And she's also given all the top girls a lot of easy buys. You know, that happens sometimes. One time she comes into that match, Harry Emily's not a heifer. You know, my homegirl, sometimes she comes into a match and she's playing pretty well, and then sometimes she comes into a match, you don't know what the fuck Emily's doing all day. But anyway, so congratulations, Emily, again, for making it to the Hall of Fame. So, I guess we can get into the real tea of today's podcast and talk about Indian Wells, you know, how you doing Indian Wells. I hope I didn't forget any gossip. Oh yes, Petra has pulled out of Indian Wells, citing exhaustion. I think she probably just fucking tired of losing matches when she ain't fucking playing at Wimbledon. But anyway, and it just came out today, she's pulling out of Miami as well. Petra, I hope for your sake you're not somewhere playing around with some boy's penis, because I know how you began digmatized, fucking Radek Stepanek fucked up your life, and I'm hoping I get into this stupid shit again. So hopefully you're really exhausted and you're getting your life together, because I said at the beginning of end of last year that, you know, my New Year's, I would like Petra to be playing some top game. I really felt that in 2011 that you were going to take the game by storm, and all of a sudden you allowed Serena to snatch all of you bitches' wings and get y'all dragging all over the place. And Petra, I really think you have a good game to be playing. I mean, David Cortese, I think is your coach's name. He really needs to help you cut down on those errors, girl, because you are be a mess. You be missing on purpose. I swear to God, there's no fucking way you be getting those easy ball and you be hitting, missing so wide and so far, so long. But anyway, just get your life together, okay, girl? All right. So let's get to Indian Wells. And before we can get anywhere in Indian Wells to 2015, I guess we got to talk about Serena's return. And now, if you've listened to my first podcast, you know how I felt about this situation. I wasn't too keen on it. And though I couldn't acquiesce and say, you know, yes, you know, Serena was, she should go and it's okay for her to be there, et cetera, not that she needed my approval to begin with. I certainly do not like the whole production behind of it. I didn't like a lot of what was going on and what was being said about it. I really and truly didn't like a lot of the shit I saw. And in particularly, I didn't like the fact that Indian Wells has not addressed the fact that they were wrong, that they set up the situation in such a way that in the beginning, in 2001, Venus has maintained that she pulled out earlier, hours ahead of the time, but they only chose to announce it 4 minutes before the start of the actual match. And the tournament director stating that, you know, we were just hoping that she can go then try to give it and see if she can continue to play. That, in fact, tells me right off the bat that you, in fact, knew she pulled out hours before. So you're trying to pretend later on, you know, I was out somewhere and I didn't know. It's some fucking bullshit. And to me, you caused that situation. Both the media and the tournament caused that situation to be so egregious, and to have that whole situation, the booing. And whether or not people want to acknowledge it, I don't think it's unbelievable to think that if a crowd was booing the people for 2 days, that one of these people who we would acknowledge that the Indian Wells crowd is mostly large, rich, entitled white people, would go ahead and say something. One of two of them would have said some shit like, you know, oh, may have called him the N-word. So I don't understand why they would not acknowledge the situation now. It's just like, and this whole bullshit, Serena is more mature. No, she was never, she didn't need to mature. Her hand of the situation was always been mature. It's you motherfucking people who have been immature. You're the one who need to apologize. And they never did. And to me, that just make, you know, that's turned this whole situation really sour. And, you know, for me, it's really messy. And I'm not entirely a big fan of that. And then the whole situation, then later on, then we go on to, they decide to have the Equal Justice Institute. And I have not heard a word of that conversation being said throughout the entire tournament. And the tournament has been going on for an entire week now, and it's not being mentioned during any of Serena's matches, you know, and it's not being talked about and the initiative and as to why and what she's supposed to be there playing for has not been highlighted. But, you know, I mean, look, people, I ain't trying to shade on anyone. I'm trying to be mean as always, you know. But, you know, I really do not like this situation. I really think it's an injustice. It's one of those things where, you know, when people, you know, affect disenfranchised people, you know, they always expect the victim to be the one to rise to the occasion. Meanwhile, the aggressors, the people who are the wrongdoers, get away more than they just get to smile and be like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, let's move on, you know, let's forget about that situation. No, motherfucker, because you will continue to do that situation. You will continue to behave and act in this manner. And in order for us to move forward and, you know, for us to get better and improve the world, et cetera, you have to stop and look at your fucking life, you wrongdoer, and check yourself. Because clearly y'all are wrecking yourself, you know. But there's a lot more I have to say about the situation, but I wouldn't go too much into that tea right now because, you know, I am actually drinking tea right now. Give me 1 second. But the real situation for me, I think we would discuss it more at length next week when my guest would be on. She was actually there at the event. So I'm really looking forward to the things that she had to say. And she had a really cool article speaking to the director of the Equal Justice Initiative organization. I would post that link in the description box. So you should definitely check it out. Andreen Soli. And, you know, I think she would be able to give us much more perspective because sometimes I think, you know, I get all hot-headed and I say a whole bunch of crazy shit, you know. So I think it's sane shit, you know, and perhaps you can talk me down out of a tree and perhaps she can give us some perspective as to, you know, how I'm feeling, you know, and perhaps situation is, you know. But, you know, let's move on. So, check my notes again. I have to say, no, get to the actual tournament, Indian Wells. Indian Wells this year has been pretty interesting. And very interesting. There have been some very, very good matches, quality matches. Well, quality in inverted commas. And sorry, I don't know why I'm stuttering. I just kind of lost the train of thought and whatever. Anyway, there's been a lot of quality inverted commas matches. And it's been, surprise, there's been a fair amount of noise being made by American players. And I'm not pro-America, pro any country. I'm just pro my players I like. And why I'm mentioning American players, because there's been a lot of talk. America has a very rich history with tennis, both in the women and men's side. But as of late, they have been suffering like nobody's business. They've been a fucking mess. They don't know their ass from elbow, and they can barely field a decent team. That's not named Venus and Serena Williams. But anyway, I think this year has definitely saw a resurgence of American women tennis. And perhaps to a certain extent, perhaps men tennis. It might be that it has to do, so let's get to this. I mean, there has been some, I saw a match first round, Sasha Vickery. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her first name right. She played Alia Kudryavtseva, and that was a messy match. When I say messy, I mean hot mess with a hot scoop of garbage on top. It was so fucking messy. I mean, Kudryavtseva had 74 unforced errors. 74 between her, with 19 winners. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. How the hell you have 74 errors? I mean, I guess, but then again, Kudryavtseva would probably tell us how. And it wasn't pretty to watch. Trust me, I saw most of those errors. And Vickery had 12 winners and 44 unforced errors. There were 14 breaks of serve, one ace for the entire three-set match. Couldn't you believe this shit? And 13 double faults. And that's just the thing. They weren't double faults. I mean, these errors were not a matter of serve. They were just crazy, bullshit, messy matches, but, you know, and I have to say, Vickery girl, you were fake cramping. I'm gonna call you out for it, girl. You were fake cramping. You were cramping in between points, but all of a sudden, as soon as the point gets on, you are running all over the place, and you know, yeah. So that page on the Djokovic book, girl, you gotta keep that shit. No, that ain't for this. It ain't for these fake injuries. It's too early for that shit. And talking about cheating, you know, I wouldn't say that she was probably cheating. I just think it's suspect. A big issue brought up between Schiavone and a Chinese player. I don't remember her first name, but I think her name is Zhu. I might be pronouncing it wrong. Anyway, the ball double bounced, and Zhu didn't admit to the fact that the ball, you know, the ball wasn't up, and she played the ball. And Schiavone was just like, "You will rip." She asked the umpire, and the umpire chose to ask Zhu, and Zhu denied it. And Schiavone, you know, Schiavone is Italian, and that bitch doesn't fuck around to speak her mind. She was just like, girl, this shit is going to be on camera. You know, everybody's going to see this shit. You're too young to be fucking lying at this point. Well, Schiavone didn't put it out like that, but you know what? I'm just giving it the real spin. You know, that's why Schiavone wanted to say it. She didn't want to get, you know, stuff in trouble. But she was just like, girl, you know this shit is going to be on camera. Everybody's going to see this shit, and you're fucking cheating. You know, and unfortunately, Schiavone allowed that to get into her head. But, you know, she's not been playing well in any way for the past while. And she allowed it to get into her head. And she lost the match. And Zhu lost the match, her next round match. But, girl, that ain't cute. That is not cute. It is not cute to cheat over a fucking point. It's bloody tennis, okay? I don't care how crucial a point is. It's not cute to cheat. It is fair as fair, okay, people? We can see, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. But don't, honestly, don't rob your player off a point. It's not that serious because it just don't look good. I mean, there's so much camera around, and you don't want that kind of negativity to be following your ass all over the place. So, Zhu, girl, you get a... And Schiavone, though we don't always cheer you on reels, I'm going to give you... a round of applause for standing up for yourself and telling it like it is, girl. You go, girl. You get a go, girl sticker, okay? I'm quoting. Getting on now. Anyway, in other things, Taylor Townsend, I thought, pretty for American time, she played pretty well. She won her first round match pretty decently against another American. She got a wild card against Bethany Maddox Sands, but she eventually lost in the second round, if I'm not mistaken, to Stosur. Now, I am a fan of Taylor Townsend. Quite as a skip, I actually met Taylor Townsend, and there's a picture of Taylor and I together, like we're BFF. But I look more like a stalker, but and we ain't got time for that. We're not saying that. We're not here for that. Anyway, Taylor Townsend, I love her game. I watched a lot of her matches at the US Open last year, playing doubles with Donald Young. And if you know me, I know how I feel about Donald Young. He's a PIG hog. I mean, that boy is just rude. I don't like his attitude. You know, no tea, no shade, Donald. I just don't like your attitude. This year, I've been getting your shit together, but I generally do not like your attitude. But anyway, I do like her energy. I do like her vibe. It is so, her attitude. And when I look at her game and her playing style and everyone talking about her fitness, she moves very well for a supposedly big, chubby girl, whatever the case may be. She can stand to lose some weight, and if she wishes to be at the very top of the game, she should lose more weight. I'm not a big fan of a coaching team. I think they have done an excellent job. My problem with Taylor Townsend is this. She's doing the shots she's going for always. She always makes the right decision on court. Always. She never does something really crazy until that she's going for an impossible shot or trying to go for something impossible. But the execution is really messy. And I don't know if that's a coaching problem, but I suspect that that's more of a mental problem. That when she gets frazzled in a situation, she gets all discombobulated in her mind, and then it gets very messy, the execution. She's just late on the shot, or too early, pulling up, or going crazy. And it's too much of a, you know, gamble, you know, hope it gets in kind of tennis bullshit. And she should really be trying to go for the percentage shots, you know. High percentage shot, you know, work a point over. And that might have to do with fitness, too. Perhaps with fitness, you know, she'd be able to do much more than that. But, you know, I'm not going to shit because I think it's really unfair to be going on about a girl, you know, telling an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, you know, girl, you're too fat, you're too fat. It ain't cute because what that girl is doing all day, half of the motherfuckers out there who are complaining can't even do that. we can't even compete with this girl in terms of just sheer physical ability. I'm not even talking about the tennis. We can't run like her, sprint like her, do bench presses, squats, whatever the case. I mean, she's working out. She's out there fit. And half of us fucking armchair umpire don't even go. The only gym we know is J-I-M gym and Jimmy B. We don't know the inside of a fucking G-Y-M gym. Did I spell that right? G-Y-M? Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, but no tea, no shades. But I said, I do go to the gym anyway, Taylor. So I might be able to take you down. You might beat me in a marathon, but girl, I think I could bench press more than you. Anyway, we ain't here for that. So moving on. Yeah, so I thought Taylor Townsend did pretty well. She did win a match. Coco Vandeweghe won a couple of matches. Let me see if I can list off the American ladies that who did some shit. Sloane Stephens. I'm telling you, Sloane Stephens got her life together and somehow ended up in the round of 16 to play Serena. She won three good matches. As a matter of fact, she took off Chanel Shepard. And I heard a commentator call this girl Chanel Shepard. Some of the pronunciation for her name. I don't know the fuck he got that. He said Chenil Shreepers. I don't know the fuck that is, but you know what? Might be because it has double E, but whatever. Girl, your name is Chanel Shepherds for me, okay? Whatever. Stephens beat Kerber, and she beat Kuzi Rex, and then she found herself in the round of 16. That is three matches Sloane Stephens won in one tournament. I think the last time she did that was probably in 2013. No tea, no shade, people. I don't even know. But anyway, actually, she probably did that in US Open that one time, probably, when she beat her in 2013 and later on did it for the rest of the year. Anyway, she's been having a slump. So hopefully this good result would hopefully translate into the rest of her year, because she really has a decent game. I do like her attitude, you know, and she dresses very well. You know, I always shade the girls for dressing. I think she'd be pleasant. But I think, you know, this beef people trying to create between her and Serena, people let it go. You fucking trolls out there, leave Sloane to fuck alone. It is disgusting. It is unnecessary. And she's been saying, you know, I've been blocking these bitches left, right, and center. You girl. And she called them a nobody. However, these quote-unquote nobodies came back and said, girl, you haven't won a title, so you're a nobody too. Boom! I'm telling you. Now, girl, that was a bit of shade, okay? That was a read. But anyway, I'm just, you know, I gotta give credit where credit was due, you know. They read you. You're right. You're right. But, you know, you are right, Sloane, that, you know, they shouldn't be shading you and they shouldn't be treating you in this manner. It's unnecessary. In order to support Serena, I mean, I don't know why everyone gets mad if everyone doesn't bow down at the throne of Serena. It's just the way it is. It doesn't necessary. I don't think Serena needs everyone to follow and worship her to know that she is the greatest tennis player there ever has been, or one of the greatest, if we're going to be all technocratic about it. You know, it's okay, people. It's not serious. I don't think Sloane has ever really disrespected Serena. She has said that Serena has disrespected her. And needless to say, I think after that 2013 or 14 episode when she got, you know, she got verbal diary, she has kept her shit together. She has kept her mouth shut. You know, she's taken her verbal, she's taken her Pepto-Bismol, and she has clogged that verbal diarrhea up really good. And she has behaved herself. I think there are a couple of tennis journalists out there who are just trying to create some shit, you know, and stir some shit. And, you know, in one of her press conference recently, you know, she said, you know, people have been saying a lot of unnecessarily nasty things about her. And that is true. That is absolutely true. And she has been blocking these bitches left, right, and center. She's been having a block party. You know, she's blocked. Here, block, right, block, yes, girl, you go, girl, and I absolute you. You don't need to be subjected to that kind of unnecessary torture and hatred and whatever the case may be. And people, trolls out there, behave to the fuck. Shut the fuck up, people, because Serena ain't giving you no money. You're getting not a single penny from Serena. You're not getting any money for being a troll, okay? So get the fuck under the bridge and press delete, okay? Press that delete button, okay? Let's do it together. Press delete. Whenever you're thinking about saying something nasty about Sloane, just press delete and let it go. It's not that serious, okay? She don't give a fuck. And she's doing good in her life anyway. Her tennis is seeming together, but it's just one tournament, you know. So you don't need to treat her in this manner. It's unnecessary, okay? Serena will be Serena, whether not Sloane, live, die, or whatever the case is. So you don't need to worry about Sloane. They have played, what, three times coming into this match, and Serena has been a two out of the one. There's nothing to prove. Serena does the talking on the court. don't let this continue, okay? Stop it, okay? And we ain't got time for that drama. Anyway, so I think I have spoken about all of the little tidbits, all the drama I wanted to talk about. And I, meanwhile, I mentioned Taylor Thompson. C-Mac, if Andy Murray is a huge fan of Taylor Thompson. And that's pretty cool. I must say, I mean, as much as, you know, I'm usually indifferent to Andy Murray, I have to say that sometimes, you know, a lot of times, you know, he's a pretty, probably could be a cool guy. I don't know. I just don't know if I would probably want to hang out with him as I want to hang out with Roger and Sangha and, you know, Gasquet. I think Gasquet could take me to all a really good club. I'm just saying, he know all the spots. But you didn't hear that from me. Anyway, I do think that Andy Murray generally is a pretty decent guy. And he talks a lot about the women game, and I don't hear a lot of the other men do that. I don't know if it's because of Amelie, you know, that he has a more appreciation, and his mother has been his coach, you know, that he has a I don't want to say female intuition, but, you know, he's much more open. I don't know what to say, but, you know, but he generally does, you know, rate the WTA, and, you know, he speaks out, you know, and that's pretty cool because they're all in the same business. And I don't know, I mean, do they generally operate in two different pools? They do meet up enough around with each other. So I do think, you know, it's worthy. I think often the women do comment on the men's game a lot of the time, and they speak about liking a lot of the players. And actually, I think Taylor Thompson is a fan of Andy Murray. So it's really cool to see that happening. Anyway, so let's get to a lot of the results that happened. I'm going to first talk about the ladies, and I think that's about wrap it up. We don't have any real topics today, and I think if I wrap it up pretty soon, in the next 10 minutes, I would actually be under an hour, which would be fucking great. But anyway, so let's ask. So Serena came back, and Serena was a hot mess against Monica Niculescu. I don't know what the fuck was going on in her life. It was just messy, messy, messy. But I guess it's the emotional strain of whatever the case may be. But she played pretty well. She won ugly, as they would say, 7-5, 7-5. Went on to beat Zarina Diaz. And then she played Sloane in the round of 16. And it was a messy start. She was broken twice, and she came back and had a set point for 6-4 and then lost it, and then lost the tiebreaker where she only won 3 points. But for the next two sets, Serena Nader came on, fucking broke Sloane to open the both sets, if I'm not mistaken, and just ran away with it 6-2, 6-2. Sloane, I have to say congratulations for winning three matches again. Pretty good. Hopefully you're getting your shit together. I miss the longer ponytail. I don't like the little short crop ponytail. It ain't cute, girl. Get back the long ponytail, and I give you an applause. And applause to Serena, too. You came back to Indian Wells and you're still slain. But I'm sure about the ponytail. If the ponytail, the long ponytail, is making you lose, perhaps you shouldn't get back the ponytail. But if it doesn't affect you, you know, the long ponytail, the sharp little crop on it, no, no. Get rid of it. Anyway, Baczynski. Who the fuck is Timia Baczynski? But who knows? Timia Baczynski is now in the quarterfinals of a premier mandatory event. She's won four matches thus far, and she has won them. She's beat Makarova, Makarova, and beat Svitolina after dropping. So this is really insane. I expected Muguruza to be doing some shit here, but she got her wig pulled by Pliskova, and Pliskova is in the last two, Halep, and Halep is now in the quarterfinals as well. Surprise, surprise, English girl Heather Watson has done really well for herself. Heather Watson pulled off the wig of Radwanska in straight sets, 6-4, 6-4. That was a surprise, and congratulations, Heather. Girl, that was an awful performance. So why are we talking about Aga Radwanska, aka Brad Wanska? Bitch, what the fuck is going on in your life? It seems like if too many people are talking to you right now because you can't even be these basic bitches. Forgive me, girls. You know when I say basic bitches, I mean it with love. But anyway, Aga, you were the queen of dragging these girls with these basic games. And you had so much diversity, and I don't understand what the fuck is going on. I don't know if Venus fucked with your head and, you know, you were dragging Venus last, and now Venus has snapped your, grabbed your wig. If you can't get your shit together. I don't know what the fuck is going on with Martina, if Martina was telling. But I mean, like, girl, even if what Martina is telling you, what Martina was trying to tell you, if I'm not mistaken, was to win the bigger matches. But girl, your regular day-to-day dragon, supposedly Martina Hingis-esque like game, was good enough to drag these bitches, okay? To drag these basic girls. And if you can't drag these basic girls, girl, you're in for trouble, because you know when you meet these top players, they will be cracking your skull. You'll be losing six, love and love. So get your shit together. I'm not a big fan of you, but I'm just simply saying, you know, just get your shit together, okay? Because pretty soon, I think Azula will be beating your ass too. And that ain't cute. That's the top half of the draw. Ain't nothing much going on. Anyone we missed, we didn't really care about. Heather Watson, I must say, she won. She won some pretty solid matches. She beat Georgie. Ain't nobody checking for Georgie before. She beat Georgie in the second round and beat Gergis in the first round. So that's pretty good, Heather. And hopefully this is just the start of something and you could be doing some other, you know, really great things for the rest of the year. Because I do think you have a decent game, but your production of power is bullshit, girl. You need to be able to amp up the power. But I think you should have probably trying to develop a game like Radwanska, you know. A lot of spins, mixing it up, you know, drop shot. You're trying to bang it out from the baseline, girl. It ain't working for you. It ain't cute. You know, let that go. You're too small and too short to get that shit happening. Anyway, in the bottom half of the draw, rather some interesting results. So now I'm going to take a little time out and talk to Vicky Azarenka. Girl, you need to get your shit together, okay? I like you. You know, people were going on about, you know, you pick Sasha Bajan as, you know, your hidden partner and all that bullshit. Ain't nobody got time for that. That's mean serious story. Serious story here is the fact that your game is full of shit, girl. You are back to messy Azarenka. Azarenka, I don't know what the hell is going on in your life, girl. You need to get your shit together. I mean, you playing some really stupid matches. You're not fixing your serve, which has always been a mess. Perhaps people didn't notice this before because of the fact that you were returning like a beast. But remember all those US Open finals that you lost? You know why you lost those finals, girl? Serena was eating your serve for lunch. For lunch, girl. You been putting on some powder puff serve, don't you? And now you're double faulting and you are missing by a country mile, girl. You showed up against Maria Sharapova thinking you were going to do some damage. And Maria Sharapova snapped your wig. She took you down. She beat your ass. And Maria, you know Maria, she don't let these... The only person who'll be trying to really put Maria in a corner is Serena. And everybody else, Maria will be going for your ass with a vengeance. And she wasn't about to let you try to play her ass out in Indian Wells. So get your shit together, Vicky. Get your shit together, okay? We ain't got time for that. Anyway, and I don't understand why you're not playing these smaller events. You should be showing up at these international tournaments with Caroline Wozniacki and winning a couple of those tournaments. Your ass trying to show up at the big tournaments. I think these girls are not going to drag your ass. And you haven't been playing for months on end. It don't look like that, boo. You're not a Williams sister, okay, girl? You need to work your way into fitness, work your way into the big leagues again, okay? You need to start from scratch. Go work on that serve in the minor leagues and get your shit together. All of a sudden, you're feeling yourself because it got to the third round of the fourth round of Australian Open. Ain't girl, no. Mm-mm, no, boo. No. Get your shit together. Nobody got time for that because they're messy. And you know those girls will be, you know those trolls will be looking to drag your ass because you took Sasha away. But, you know, I'm not part of that team. I don't care, you know. I'm so happy that Sasha's still around because, you know, I love me looking at some Sasha, you know. But so thank you for giving Sasha a job. But you know what? You need to get your shit together. This ain't cute, girl. It ain't cute. Moving on. So, Lusicki. Sabine Lusicki is winning matches. I can't believe it. First of all, I'm surprised she even seeded because I have had not won. Why? I think she won two matches for the year coming into this match, and she was ranked third, 24. I don't know how. But anyway, she is now into the quarterfinals. She beat Garcia along the way, who I don't understand how Garcia didn't win that match or even win a set. But you know, now that French girl is so messy. And she beat Irani, who, you know, truth be told, I'm not a big fan of Irani. But anyway, Sabine Lisicki is in the quarterfinals, and she will be playing Flavia Pineda, last year winner the defending champion. Who grabbed Martha Lee yesterday? Now, Flavia came out in the first set. I don't know what was going on in Flavia's life because Flavia looked like she was in tears. She was crying. Later on, she said, you know, the overwhelming pressure of coming back. Girl, ain't nobody expect you to win last year, and ain't nobody expect you to win this year. So I don't know what the hell pressure you're talking about. Because nobody checking for you, boo. But apparently she was checking for herself because, you know, she got her life together. And she beat Martha, and she beat Martha convincingly. After dropping the first at 3-6, she beat her 6-3, 6-2. And Martha was with that messy serve all over again. And Flavia was working those points over. And Maria has been trying to do different things. But you see, Flavia is a smart girl. Flavia has been playing tennis for a long time. And Flavia knows the way around these kind of courts. And she played like a defending champion. And now she's back in the quarterfinals. So congratulations, Flavia. And Sabine Lisicki too. And I guess this place is making a resurgence. Because all of a sudden, Yelena Yankovic is winning matches again. She's in the quarterfinal, and she will be playing Serenko. I hope I'm saying that name correctly. This girl from Ukraine who grabbed Jeannie Bouchard's wig. Bouchard is another one who's been messy this year. I mean, I guess that 2013-14 was really good, and Halep is the only one who has been really putting her shit together, you know, trying to build on that success of last year. Jeannie Bouchard had 75 errors in one match. I don't know. I can't even begin. Again, I don't know how you can make 75 errors. I don't know how you can make 75 errors in a match unless you're blind. But anyway, Yankovic, back to Yankovic, because nobody got time for Jeannie and her nonsense. Yankovic beat Madison Keys. And Madison Keys, I'm going to drag you right now. Prepare for a dragging. Get your seatbelt on, girl, because I'm about to pull you out of the car and drag you. Girl, ain't nobody got time for on-court coaching, okay? Lindsay Davenport, you are going to get a... Stop encouraging this bullshit. I don't know why Madison Keys is having on-court coaching. And she got on-court coaching in her first match against Kukulova after she had won the first set. And I don't understand that. Girl, you won the first set 6-3. Why the fuck are you getting on-court coaching to tell you what to do? Clearly, you know what you're doing because you're doing it. And Lindsay, I'm trying to say some shit. She didn't know that she was supposed to, that she set up for uncle coaching. Girl, how you didn't know? But your ass showed up on the court anyway, though. So how you, if you didn't know, you wouldn't have moved when, you know, it was time for the in-between changeover. So don't give me that shit, girl. Just admit it. Your girl is a weak heart. And sure enough, the weak heart showed up against Yankovic in the third round. And five-head Yankovic, girl, you know, I'm not going to forget your name is five-head Yelena. JJ, don't forget you got a five-head. Anyway, showed up against Yankovic, and Yankovic dragged her. And for no good reason, Yankovic was able to drag her. After she called the coach on, after was beating up, you know, she barely won points. Madison Keys was up 3-1, I think, in the third set, and then lost 5 straight games. A mess. And was getting on court coaching. A mess. People, on-court coaching is evil. It is after devil. It ain't tennis. It is on tennis. It is under the tennis guard. And in the name of the tennis guard, I rebuke on-court coaching. Okay? Players, you're not going to make it to the big leagues unless you could figure this shit out on your own. It's tennis. It constantly changes. There's little ups and downs. Get your shit together on your own. Because they mommy and daddy coming to clean your ass when you're in a fucking teen, when you're an adult, in your bathroom, in home. No. Ain't cute. Nope. But Yelena, you know, I don't particularly like you, but you know, I gotta give you a round of applause. So that's with the ladies, now for the men's. So, all the usual suspects are here in the rounds. The men, I think, are like a day behind. So they're a round behind. So whereas the women are in the quarterfinal, the men are now in the round of 16. And we had some pretty interesting results. Let's go to the top half, which features, which is supposed to feature Andy Djokovic and Murray in the semifinal. Djokovic, of course, did his thing. You know, he's always winning, so he's definitely in the quarterfinals. Round of 16, sorry. And John Isner is winning some matches. I know. And he's also in the round of 16. I will play Djokovic in the quarterfinal in the round of 16. Then we have Kokkinakis. I know Kokkinakis has won some pretty solid matches so far. He's won 3 matches so far, and he will play his countryman Tomas Bodic, Bernard Tomic, I mean, who beat David Ferrer in the 3rd round in straight sets too. So that's some pretty interesting match. Adrien Manarino of France will play Andy Murray in the round of 16. He beat Golbis, who won his first match of the year. So congratulations. Sometimes he doesn't have to encourage the motherfucker. I mean, like, shit is so bad. So for those small victories, you just have to give him all the praise in the world. Like, he just won the title. So Golbis, congratulations. But Manarino beat you in straight sets. Feliciano Lopez is pretty playing well. And so is Nishikori. Nishikori is in the round of 16. So some pretty interesting matchups on the men's side of it. I mean, ain't a really juicy thing to talk about the men. I think we could talk about the fact that, you know, that Stanley lost. But you know what? Stanley has been falling off the radar lately, saying nobody checking for he right now. But actually, it was a surprise loss. I couldn't believe he lost. I mean, he's playing pretty well for the most part for the year. Anyway, Tommy Robredo has beaten Dimitrov, who lost just after Martha got her wig snapped yesterday by Panetta. Dimitrov decided, you know, he wanted to go and comfort Martha, and he lost in Tommy Robredo 7-5 in the third set, 5-7 in the third set. So, Dimitrov, I don't know what the fuck is going on with your life, but you're getting a sad. But you're going backwards. You are going backwards. You're not progressing today. So whatever the case may be. And this is going to be a juicy popcorn match. Lucas Rosal versus Tomas Bodic in the round of 16. Apparently, quite as kept, they don't like each other. You know how men be, you know, they be all kind of drama and they try to act like women and all. So it's going to be an interesting popcorn match between, you know, Rosal and Bodic. Then we have Diva Dalek and Simon. Simon has some pretty good game, and sometimes he can surprise you. Simon, you know, quiet as a cat, I'm hoping that you would surprise me today. You know, surprise me, girl. Surprise me. I hope that is the case. But, you know, I expect Diva Dalek to, you know, get through to the quarterfinals and probably Perinich. Robredo said that he has a parade. The thing he has to do is basically, you know, hold serve and get to the tiebreaker where anything can happen. Federer will be playing, surprise, Jock Sock, I think that's his name, Sock, whatever, from America, who won 3 decent solid matches. He beat Yun Sun Lu, and then he beat Dennis Istomin, and then Roberto Bautista Agut in the 3rd round. That's some pretty solid win for Sock, and who's been struggling. He barely ever wins singles. I mean, the most we hear about Sock really is because he and Vasek Popsicle, my hot little Popsicle, hotness from Canada, won Wimbledon last year in doubles, and they have a pretty solid doubles team. So he'll be playing Federer. And talking about Federer, Mr. Federer, congratulations on beating Andre Sappi again, as you should have, at the Australian Open in straight set 6-3, 6-4. That's my boy. He did it. And I think if that's about it, really. I mean, on the men's side, I think the men usually keep their shit together. They're pretty solid. And I think everyone is gunning to do well. But I have to say that there have been a lot of surprise people in the quarterfinal, in the round of 16 so far. I think I'm surprised to see Kokkinakis, who's been getting wild cards. I think a lot of these younger players really need to go back and play challenges. But, you know, Kokkinakis is playing some pretty solid tennis. So, congratulations to you, boo. Manarino is here in the round of 16. That's a pretty solid result. Rosal, I mean, I expected Rosal to go to the 2nd round, but he beat Martin Klizan and beat Robin Haase in the 3rd round. So some pretty solid results for these guys. And I mean, it's good to see the scrubs are stepping up this year. Congratulations, scrub. Get your shit together, because you know, as I always say, 3rd round money is better than 2nd round money. And what is better than 3rd round money? 4th round money. And what is better than 4th round money? Quarterfinals money. You know, so, you know, make as much money as you can, boo. Especially at these big tournaments, because a lot of these top guys within the top seeded, top 32, top 16, they're easily grabbable. You know, you can get some of these fuckers quick. So, you know, congratulations to you guys. And I think this is all I gotta say. So, just to let you know, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Facebook, you can find me on WordPress. Please comment, people. Please comment. I really would appreciate your comments and participation because it would really, you know, help me, you know, what I can do better, what you would like to see. And I'm open to guests, as you know. Yes, we just have to have something rather constructive to talk. We just can't be cutting up and kicking over nothing. Though I don't mind that at all. I do have a couple, like I said, I've planned the next series of podcasts, what we're going to talk about. I think some of you would like it. I don't want to give too much away right now, but know that I'll be coming to you next week with another episode with a wrap-up of the Indian Wells tournament. And I have to say, I'm pretty happy that I'm sticking with this. I'm happy that I did this because I thought I was going to be frazzled and, you know, so good. So fans, I am so happy that, you know, I'm coming to you and you allow me to filter, to pollute your airways. And spread the word. So let's give ourselves a round of applause. Okay. And thank you very much for coming in. Oh, I forgot. A word from our sponsors. Thank you, sponsors. We don't have any sponsors, people. So if you know anyone who's willing to give me some money for my podcast, please send them my way. I really appreciate it, okay? Really do. So again, thank you very much for listening in, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.